Father, we open this precious book again. Lord, we certainly need to understand what we read and what we study. It's one thing just to read. I found out a long time ago, I can read casually, Lord, through the Scripture, and I get a few gleaning things, but I don't really get the meat of God's Word unless there's a hard studying, run references chapter by chapter. And of course, we believe that your Word itself is its own commentary when it comes to what you want us to know. Holy Spirit, help us tonight to see what Paul is trying to tell us here, so when we get to Romans 8, we'll understand it even better and what you've done for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, last week we looked at verse 14, 15, and I think we got down to 17, but I'm just go back and read those just a minute. But let me just say this, ladies and gentlemen. This is something that I think that's very easy for us to do in this life, more so now as we've been saved a period of time, or for the world to do who had put on a religious cloak. You know, most people think of God in name only. They read the Bible, but it's amazing what a little comprehension has done. Very few people look at God as God in a reality of experiencing Him in this life and what He's trying to do for us. Because that don't come just by living. That don't come just by reading. Because you don't really understand God in like He wants us to, is just by reading. Though that's better than nothing at all, because it's certainly flowing through your mind. But studying God has given us, that's the reason Paul told Timothy, study the Word of God, because God wants us to know He's more than just what. You talk to the average person about God and listen what they say and using His name and what they believe. And then think about others who go to extreme and say they had a reality of God in their life somehow or another, and that's another extreme. And yet you look at their lives, there's no change much. Ladies and gentlemen, this book tells you if God works in our heart like they should be, there will be a change. You cannot be born into the family of God without. You can't be born physically without a change from where you're at and where you were born. You can't be born spiritually without that change. And so I'm asking the Lord to really help me understand, not God just in name, that's theology, but God in experience of how He works, what He says, His Word, how he puts promises in certain places. What are those promises? How do those promises work? What good is me to know a promise of God if I don't know how it works and how what God said? Did you know God gives promises, but there's conditions of promises in God's Word sometimes too for His own children? And you can see that all through the Scriptures. He's given us a record. Even the Old Testament for 4,000 years, we have a record, panoramic view of some things, how God worked and what He required of people to move in their lives. And then we move to the New Testament. There's an absolute freedom there that man has never experienced before because of what Jesus Christ has done. But there are still some things that God has said must be done. And the problem is this, it's hard in the age of grace where we're at now to look at Old Testament and New Testament and people reconcile the two together. They either get hung up on the old and look at law and what we've been talking about and can't understand that, or hung up in the new and think the old has nothing to do with it. Hey, if you're going to ever understand God and His working, you'll have to try to ask God to help you understand this book, not just this phase of it. And that's the whole thing about it. And I was thinking today, as I was studying tonight, right before I came out here, this coming Saturday, 27th this month, I'll be 57 years old in the Lord. Now, 57 years I've been in this book, and I don't know nothing. But I'll tell you this, what I do know, I know. And it's because I've done just what I've done here in teaching and studying, and the more time goes, the more you spend in it, the new man is growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord. Others may can't see it, but you'll find out that you feel you don't have the ability to do something, but God keeps proving that His Word in your heart given to people. There are some that do listen. So let's go back again and pick up where Paul was talking about when he said this. And we'll look first of all in verse 14. Now, I've said before, I went back to chapter 6 and 7 to get to chapter 8, because chapter 8 is one of the great blessed chapters of showing what Jesus done for us and why we are saved, though we have a new creation in us. There are some things still wrong with this flesh that has to be conquered. And you know what? It seems like some people think, well, if I get saved, I don't have to worry about the flesh. If I do, flesh takes over. You know, if a person feels that they don't have to worry about the flesh once they get saved, then the flesh will eventually take over. Because you see no need to counteract it. You think I'm saved, God's going to do it all for me. God has said in this book, we just looked at chapter 6, even saved, we have to yield to the power that's available either to the flesh or to the new creation in Christ Jesus. And Paul has shown us what happens when you yield to the flesh. We're not talking about the world. They don't know nothing but the flesh. That's the reason the world live in deep sin and never feel guilty about it unless something happens in their life and they feel, well, you know, a good man upstairs may have something to try to teach me. If they get over that, they're not going to think about the good man upstairs anymore, which is a blasphemy to even refer to him that way because he's God, ladies and gentlemen. But here's the thing. God in this book is showing us that we got saved. Something took place inside, and there's a new creation which moves into a direction that God wants to develop us so we can be the vessel that he wants us to be to tell this world about who Jesus Christ is, because that's the only hope they have, is to know who he is. So Paul is laying some things out, and we'll go through this again. Look in verse 14. He goes back and he said, and we know. Now, Paul said this. Watch. Ladies and gentlemen, hear me. What Paul is telling us here, letting us know how the flesh works in our life, he's been saved 26 years. And notice how he uses what he said. This is not Paul just going to get saved and lost it. This is Paul who's been saved 26 years, and he's laying out some tremendous facts in his life that he said, I as a man don't really understand. I'm not comprehensive yet, but I know what's going on in my body. I know what's going on between my flesh and my spirit, which now is a new creation in Christ Jesus. And I know this, that God has let me see some things in chapter 8 that he writes. Now, he understood more after he wrote it, I'm sure, but he didn't understand it incomplete unless he understood what happened in chapter 6 and 7. By the way, the first seven chapters are needed to look at them progressively because Paul has started coming across there telling us until he can get to the point to tell us what's happened in chapter 8 and the rest of the chapter. So he makes this statement. He said, for we know that the law is spiritual. Now, in other words, the law is given by God. It's spiritual. It will do what it's to do. There's nothing wrong with the law. The law is not sin. The law is the hand of God given through Moses. But watch what he said. We know that the law is spiritual. Now, if we know, as he used the pronoun we, including himself, that means he knew that it was spiritual. But watch, even knowing that law is spiritual from God, notice what he said. But I am carnal, sold under sin. This is not the Saul of Tarsus. This is the Apostle Paul. You see, Saul of Tarsus, he's shown us there is a divided nature in him now. And in that nature he has, there is the I. If you look through here, he uses 35 times the pronoun I in these few verses. He's talking about himself. He's the I of Saul, which is selfish. And he's the I of Paul, which is Christ-centered. So the I of Saul is self-centered. And he said it's still self-centered. Everything I face, itself is trying to get itself over and overcome me. But now where I was self-centered as the Saul of Tarsus, now I am Christ-centered as the Paul, the new birth. And now he says there is a battle going on between these two natures. The Saul of Tarsus, which I was, the old man, and the Paul of Christian, the new man, and in sense, having the Spirit of God. So he said, here I stand, knowing what I need to do, growing in grace and knowledge, and God put his hand of approval upon him, because Paul was probably one of the better Christians, if not the most important Christian, you find probably in the New Testament, as far as what he was done by God. He certainly was a great Christian after he got saved. And he said, here I'm in this battle. And he leads up to this thing, and when he gets to verse, I see him building up where he's at, and he's saying, I just don't understand this, God. I don't understand. But then he gets an answer before he gets into chapter 8 to show what God, through Christ, did for him to get him out of the mess he was in. And then even then, as a child of God, he says it's as you grow. You see, what I'm talking about studying the Scriptures is this. Because if you and I who are saved don't study the Scriptures other than just reading casually, if we don't study the Scriptures, then we're not growing like we should to overcome the old man. The old man, the old man has come with us for years. And the old man's still there. And when you go out that door, anywhere you want to go, if you're not careful, the old man's going to be tipped towards something. He's going to be drawn towards you. You may be okay in one place, but listen, that world has a whole lot for Satan to offer the people. And what happens, they don't realize, once they get away from the Word of God, and here's the thing that bothers people don't understand. I used to think, Lord, why in the world can people be in church for years and suddenly get out? And what happens is this. They don't realize it. Once you begin to get away from where the Word of God is taught, because more than likely, if you're not where it's taught, we're not studying it for ourselves. And once we get away from the Word of God is actually taught, then we find that we're not growing in grace and knowledge. We could study for ourselves, but I'll tell you this, if we study for ourselves, we're going to get somewhere it's taught. It's going to draw us because there's a love about to understand, Lord, I realize how much I need, and I want to go where I can get more while I try to study for God's glory and for Him to use me more. And so here, Paul's setting forth this tremendous thing, what's going on in his body. Watch as he develops now, and then look at yourself, because what Paul's saying, you're just like that if you're saved. But you can have the victory, but there's a way you get the victory. You don't get the victory just because I'm saved. You get the victory because you learn that we're yielding to something every day. And God says, once the new nature is growing like it should, you're going to find yourself seeing it pays to yield to the new nature. And then you overcome the old nature. But if you're not growing, then the old nature keeps personifying itself and eventually gets us in a place to grab us our attention to get us disturbed somewhere or another, thinking then because we're not grown that because of this over here, I must not be saved. And don't realize that one instant in life does not cause a person who's been saved not saved. If it had, we'd all be unsaved. And I'd prove that to you. If you go back in the Old Testament, I'm studying right now, and it amazes me on subjects how the Lord flushed my mind. But Jehoshaphat, the Old Testament, when he was king of Judah, he had taken it in kingship at really desire to do right, but then he did some wrong things. Now, you'll see this in the message coming up, because I'm just hitting this because it fills in what I'm trying to tell you now. He did some wrong things, and God was displeased with him. But God didn't give him up because of that, because he said later he saw what he would do when he corrected some things. You see, God sees a child of his, and if he fails in error, he didn't know where it was at. Then you're going to see that because of that, he's going to deal with that in circumstance. He may go through trial. He may go through testing. He may go through something. He may go through some type of physical problem. God has ways that he can get our attention. And we'll run to him if you're saved and not you'll run further. Because we'll know, ladies and gentlemen, there are some things that we just cannot handle. We can't deal with it ourselves and on self. We have to go to him for it and realize he has the answer for that. And when we understand that, and God lets us go through a test, and he'll let us, all of us find ourselves going through problems. Every last one of us go through problems. And those problems sometimes, or maybe directly or indirectly as far as God is concerned, applying to us in life. But what he wants us to know, when we go through a problem, he already knows what's going to happen, that problem. And how we yield or don't yield to what he says in his word helps us or don't help us as far as his help to us is concerned. Because God is more concerned about our character than he is about our health. Amen. Well, preacher, I thought he was concerned about our health. He is. But he's more concerned about my character than he is my health. Because you see, my health, he could just fix it at a snap. But he won't burglarize my will for my character, because the only way I'll do that is I yield to him through this book and let the Holy Spirit help me grow in grace and knowledge, and that'll build my character. If not, I'll not have it built. So he goes on now and he says, now I know this, what? For I know that the law is spiritual, but I'm carnal, soul, and sin. Now look in verse 15. And then he explains himself. What's it? For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. Now, some people look at that and just say, you know, that's just a bunch of words, don't mean a lot, just perch on. No, these are important words. It says, all twisted tongue. Once he got mixed up, some. No, this is exactly like God said for him to do it. And he's talking about here, he's finding himself in this place now with the new desire to do things. He's growing. God had taught him 3 years over, Jesus had taught him 3 years over in Asia Minor. And he's growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. And yet he's just thinking, boy, isn't this one thing on the road to Damascus? He's had what a testimony. Did God ever knock you off the horse to save you? Did he ever knock you down to save you? I think he put us on our knees. But Saul, man, can you imagine? Saul said, hey, I was headed to Damascus, killed Christians, and God knocked me off my horse. I was blind. Well, that's a pretty good testimony, isn't it? And God didn't get his attention? But you know this? God didn't do him that way just to show his tyranny. God did him that way because he saw in Saul of Tarsus, Apostle Paul, who would be just as gung-ho about God as he was about against God. And he saw that. See, he saw you and I. He knows the day we got saved, if we got saved, we didn't get saved, and what we would do after we got saved. He knows that many will backslide and get off, and he'll have to deal some things with them. He knows that we are fickle sometimes when it comes to this world. He knows Satan has this entire kingdom of the world to offer us in many fashions because he tried to trick Jesus in Matthew 4 like that. Instead of, though, Jesus showed us how we could have victory. And he said, that which I do, I lie, I just don't. And for what I would, that do I not. Now I know what I should be doing. I spend some time with the Lord. Paul did. God used him to write some epistle. He could read the other epistle and write. And here he's talking about spend some time for the Lord. I know what to do. I know what to do. I ought to be able to do it. Then suddenly he says, I find myself doing something I should not do. Where he knew it, and evidently he didn't know it, or he knew that it was could have been done because of the way he felt. You ever had someone say, I don't know why I did it? Barbara and I know good and well in counseling. We have a lot of times people say, you know, I just don't know why I did it. By the way, if you'll be honest, there's some things you did, you don't know why you did it. But I'll tell you one thing is, one way you did it, if you yielded to God, if you're saved, the other way you did it, you yield to the flesh. And God didn't have anything to do with what you did, you yield to the flesh. But aren't you glad, though, he was there to help you yield to him? You know why? That's what the Holy Spirit's about. He didn't leave us like the Old Testament, just you got the law and that's it, and you break it, boy, that's it, unless you bring the right sacrifice. But he gives us the Holy Spirit that lives in us to help us live for his glory. And then notice in verse 16, he said, then after he said, for that I do, would that do I not, but what I hate that I do. He said, if then I do it, that which I would not, I consent to the law that is good. Now, Paul said, listen, I did what I should not have done and would not have done, but that after I did that, I consent to the laws. That law is good. In other words, because the law convicted him, didn't make the law bad. Because the law brought about a guilt conscience, didn't make it bad. It made it good. In other words, the law was still doing for him in the body, being saved, as it was trying to do when he won't say. In other words, if you look at Galatians again, the law was the schoolmaster to bring the unsaved to Christ, by proving that they are guilty in sin and cannot do it themselves, and because of that, they have to come to Christ and yield to him and his calling. And that's what we see here. He said, I consent that the law unto the law that is good. Because the law condemns me, I can't say it's bad. You know, I use that thing, use that speed limit. Because we get caught speeding on the law out here on the road somewhere or another, can't say the law's bad. We may say it, but it don't make no difference. So Paul's using this here at this time. Watch, he said the next verse. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. And I'm going to just hit this because I'm trying to go back and repeat, because that's exactly what some people say. Well, if I believe like you do, I just go ahead and do it because, you know, as he put it here, that now then it's no more I. If I do sin, it's no more I do it, sin in me, so God can't hold me responsible. You forget what he said in Romans chapter 6 to believe that. You go back Romans chapter 6 and you see, and I'll read to you again, verse 6, he said, knowing that this old man is crucified with you, is put to death, but the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. He didn't say you would not sin. He said you have been put to death, so you have the power not to serve sin. Then he says down in verse, look down a little further, if you look down in verse 12, he said, let not sin therefore ring in your mortal body that you should obey it in the lust thereof. That is, ringing means it has control of you. It doesn't mean you just slipped up somewhere or another. And that's what Paul is talking about here. He said, now that it's no more I that do it, but it's sin indwelling me. He's not sin because a person accepts that. It's all right, just go out and live like you want to as you're being born again. Because that's not what it works. That's not the way it works. And then he goes on saying, verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. Isn't it amazing? He says, a child of God, listen, this sin will not dominate you in your lifestyle if you're truly saved. Because there's checkpoints that God gives us. But on the other hand, he said this, what then shall we sin? because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid. There's another way away with that thought. A person who simply says this, if I believe that God could save someone and therefore that he saved me forever to go to heaven, to be to heaven, if I'm truly saved and therefore I would say, well, if that be the case, you know what I do? I'm just living it. Boy, wouldn't it be a wonderful thing? I'll just live in my sin and I'm going to heaven anyhow. Paul said, God forbid. Away with that thought. It don't work that way. But you know, a lot of people don't see that. You know why? It's not taught. And ladies and gentlemen, you can't read that in. I dare you to read. You can't read it no other way. Can't read it. He said, get that out of your mind. If you're saved, that's not the way it works. Because you may prove yourself a reprobate, unsaved. And then end up in hell thinking you were saved. And a lot of folks is that way. That's what Jesus said to those people who said he did all those things in Matthew for him. And he said, depart from me, I never knew you. Now watch. I love this. He's developed. He starts out where he's at legally and where he's at in Christ. And he's building the plateau up. Watch. Then he says, for if we have been planted. Oh, I better go back to chapter 7. Look in verse 18. For I know, after he said now, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. Watch what he said to develop it further. He says, I know. It's not something he thought about or maybe so. He said, I know this. I know that in me, in who? Paul. It's Paul now because Paul's been saved. In me. By the way, he's been saved 26 years. In me. Watch what he said. That is in my flesh. So you understand that. He's showing the dual part. In my flesh, he says, dwelleth no good thing. Isn't that pretty plain? Now, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. That means I'm dragging around this flesh all the time and have been for 57 years, growing in grace and knowledge. And Paul is telling me that this flesh that I'm in right now, notice, he says, there's nothing good in it. It's never been saved. And that's where you now understand why God's not going to take it to heaven with him. It's going back to the dust. And that helps me understand why he's talking about a glorified body. Because he's going to put that new creation in a glorified body, which made for that, and the glorified body will never have to worry about the flesh again. But when he goes further, he said this. What? Though he knows there's no good thing in the flesh, watch this. For to will is present with me, that's the new man. That's the Paul centered in Christ. He says, but how to perform that which is good I find not. That's the self of Saul, which is self-centered. It's so easy after many years of self-centered with the flesh. By the way, did you know most of the time anything the flesh that gets is pleased by it? Did you know most of the time anything that God would say us to do or to do as a new creation in Christ Jesus, the flesh don't like it? And that's when I showed you the other night how we were spiritually what they call circumcised, cut off, as Brother Keith and Brother Money helped me, and how Satan attacks the flesh, and yet at the same time, it influences us because the flesh is still here. We're inside, but we have a spiritual circumcision cut. We cut away the filth of the flesh, and the only way the flesh can do that is yield to it, just yield to it. And that's what he tells us in chapter 6. He said, know this. He said in verse 16, after he said, know you not? What then shall we sin because we're not under the law but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourself servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. You see the two that's there. Before we were saved, we only understood the servant to sin to death. That's all we had. Oh, we had a few miracles in the image of God. More things, a city, society, neighbor. You know, we had certain things that even our laws of the land puts us in government. But he said inside the battle was going on all the time. And watch, then he says, then watch this. He said, how to form that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. He didn't, hey, isn't it an amazing thing? He said, what Paul to me is saying, the good that I know to do, I don't do it all the time. I just don't. Because the flesh is more powerful. And here's the case. If I'm not growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord, so I have the power to say no to Satan, then the flesh is going to do a whole lot more leading me. And I can't grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord without being in this book. This can't do it. I can't do it. And I don't want to get sidetracked and believe something that set off point. I want to be sure every post is in place. I want to be sure, Lord, that I what you want me to see, nothing else, because what he wants me to see is what he wants me to use for his glory. And I find myself this, loving the Word of God. And most of the time, what happens is this. If you're not careful, and you have to be careful, you have to be careful. If Satan can't keep you from listening to this, then he'll make arrangements for you to get out of church. And all of a sudden, convince the flesh that we're okay because of where we're at. And it's very easy to get out of the will of God. Amen. Easiest thing in this world to get out of the will of God. And people who get out many times don't think they are. But you know enough about this book. God lines it all up. Watch what he said. He said, for the good that I would, I do not, but the evil that I do, which I would not, that I do. Now, and he called that evil. He said, the good that I would, I do not, and the evil. Even is Apostle Paul, the Apostle Paul who wrote such tremendous truth about what Christ had done, this is who he is. I'm so glad God's not afraid to show us his men that he put many things in that they are this way, and you can have the victory. You and I can have the victory just as much so as Apostle Paul did. Because we can do the same thing he did. God gave it to him. He wrote it. And now he's preserved it for us that we can do the same thing. Now, watch what the next verse says. He said, now, if I do that, I would not. If I do that to evil. This is another comparison. It's no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. He said that twice. It sounds like somebody said, well, isn't that a wonderful thing? Paul said, if this thing happens, okay, because I'm a child of God. And he said, if it happens, then sin, then I just look at it on the basis that it's not I that do it, but it's sin that dwelleth in me. It won't be Paul who's centered in Christ, but it's the Saul who's centered in the flesh. And not feeding the sinner in Christ like he should, the flesh is still ruling. You and I had a number of years of the flesh before we ever got saved. And sometimes a lot of baggage come over with us, and God takes time to work that baggage out. Then I like this. Then he says this. What happened? He says, then I find a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Now, it's interesting because there are some six laws you see in this. Paul talks about the law of Moses, talks about the law of principle, talks about the law of faith, talks about the law of sin. He talks about the law of the mind, talks about the law of the spirit. And what God is trying to show us in this life, God establishes his law that's holy and it's right and it's good. But he doesn't establish this by us, his law. He establishes it in us. In other words, now it's not something that God's law is just by us. If it was by us only, that's us. That's self-centered. And more than likely, it would be religion rather than salvation. God is saying, listen, my law that condemns you, and we'll look at later, I'm going to go to 2 Corinthians because Paul explains a little bit further about how the law kills us and how the Spirit gives us life. But if that be the case, then he's setting forth this wonderful truth that the inward man, and he said, evil is present with me when I would do that which is good. I find the law that when I would do good. In other words, there's a law that's there that I want to do good. Evil is present. He sees that. But you know something? If you don't recognize what evil is, it can conquer you and not even know it. You know, it's like Obama saying that, radical Islam? Islam, radical Islam. You don't say the word radical Islam. If you don't recognize, you don't know what it is. If you don't recognize what evil is, then you don't know when you see it. And therefore, if it's running in your body, if it's running in your flesh, you don't even know anything about it. But Paul says you should because you're a child of God. And by the way, if you are a child of God, you will begin to learn in the early stages of that. Now watch, he said, for I delight in the law of God. Here's what it is. Paul says, here's what I find. This thing's with me working all the time. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, when we stand before God, too, it's going to be God's going to judge us on the basis of how we yield to him and not to the flesh. If we had any ability to do anything for God, don't do it. When we get to heaven one day, we're going to come up short when it comes to rewards and things like that. God gives us the ability, gives us gifts, gives us things to do to use for his glory. And Paul is showing us that. He said, I delight in the law of God after the inward man. In other words, Paul said, listen, I know this, there's in my heart to delight what God wants in that inner man, that spiritual man, that new creation. Then notice, but he said, while I'm doing that, look in next verse. But he said, I see another law in my members. That's in the flesh. Notice what he says. Warring against the law of my mind. He said, but I'm delighted. I see something. Praise God. This is food for my soul. And my mind is just rejoicing. And suddenly I feel like just giving God praise and glory. And then I realize there is also a law in my members. Warring against the law of my mind. And you experience that. And watch. This is what gets me. Bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my memory. He said, isn't it amazing? Here I am, got this thing, and all of a sudden the law of my mind, I'm rejoicing. Then the law of my members brings me into captivity, overrides the law of my mind. And what he's saying here, he said, and bring me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. I find that the law of sin comes in over time. How am I going to get out of this? Paul is saying, if I understand it, Lord, I need help. If the Apostle Paul had to say that, we need to say it. Paul's showing that. He's just laying it out there because the Holy Spirit's doing that for him. Watch. Now, watch. I want you to notice something. When he come to this place, he's that which I know to do is good, and I don't do that. And when I really get something for God and start growing you into the Spirit, then all of a sudden the law of the members of my flesh comes up. And what happens? Something will meet. Something will happen. Something will take place and frustrate you. Or you look at something attractive, sin, something will happen. And he said, and then suddenly I find myself off the guard. And when I do, I find the law of my members overrides the law of my mind. Where is he at? I love what the next verse says. When Paul says, oh, wretched man that I am. What? The Apostle Paul, who's been saved 26 years, crying out? Because he's showing us that if we really get what God has done for us, our life will revolutionize for the Lord. If not, we'll become complacent. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of this death? Hey, he's already been saved on the road to Damascus, and he's crying out, oh, wretched man that I am, who's going to deliver me from this body of death? He's not talking about the spiritual side here. He's talking about the body that he's in, the members that are overriding him all the time. And by the way, if there's anyone who was yielded to the Spirit, he would be. But he said, when you yield to the Spirit, at certain things at that time, there's power, but the flesh is always there. Because you and I are not yielding to the Spirit 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We have the Spirit, but the flesh is there all the time in. If Satan can't get you in the way, you go to sleep and have no control, he have you dream something that's wicked. This flesh is wicked, folks. That's what Paul says. Now, I love this. Then he said this. I'm glad he didn't just say, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me of this body of death, and leave us there. He said this. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Isn't that wonderful? That's the power. That's the way he delivers. Watch what he said. It's through Jesus Christ, and he's fixing to show us in chapter 8 what Christ did for us. And we rejoice and realize I've got a power in me the world knows nothing about that I can do what God asked me to do. Because I don't have to do it by myself. I have to depend on him. Sometimes you may think I falter. Sometimes you may think I'm not. But God got me on a path that whatever that is that I'm looking at, studying, and pushing towards a goal, he's got me headed in a direction that all of that's going to cause me to come out somehow or another better for him. If I keep yielding to that which has to do with the Spirit. Then he said this. With the mind, I myself serve the law of God. But with the flesh, the law of sin. Now, this depends on something. Someone looked at that and said, wait a minute. God, you mean tell me that I serve God with a mind, the law of the Spirit, and I serve the flesh. Because he said, so with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Now, that goes right back. Three times he's did this. Because he knew somebody was going to say that. He's going to say, man alive. Isn't that amazing thing? I'm saved. And I can't help it. God, you told me I can't help it. I have the law of mind, and I have the law of the flesh. I have the law of the mind, the law of my members. And here I am in this battle. And because of that, if I do sin, it's your fault, not mine. No, it's not. It was not God's fault because Adam and Eve sinned. Just because he let Satan get to Adam and Eve is not God's fault. You see, Satan deceives people. He keeps them from being saved. He gets them saved. He keeps them doing anything for the Lord. And after a while, they get to thinking, well, I'm going to heaven anyhow. It's all really about. Just glad I got my ticket to heaven. And God said, hey, when you get a ticket, you're going somewhere or another. But when you're going somewhere, there's things that happen along the way. See, there's more to it, folks. If you be honest with, hey, if you don't want God to show you his word, don't read it and study it. But if you do and study like you should, you're going to be surprised what's in this book, because it is powerful, and most people won't listen. God's people will listen some, but most people won't listen, because the first thing they're going to say, I've read you, and we've been in this for a number of weeks now, and there are people will say right now, well, wait a minute, that's just the way you see it. I don't see it that way. Let me ask you. I ask you to go back and read it, and come back and tell me if you see it any other way. You may see it a little different way, but it'd be the same direction that I just gave you right now, because that's what Paul's saying. That's what he's saying. And then when we get here, he's setting forth that this, when he talked about, I'll read it again, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. What he's saying here, not that you can just live in sin a lifestyle, what he's saying now, This depends upon who you yield yourself to. Go back to chapter 6 and verse 16, and he tells them, don't you know who you yield yourself to? He's not talking about the world. They only know the flesh. Now, when he gets that, and this will stop tonight, you get to the book of Romans, and the first thing he said, there is therefore. Wow. He's fixing to really bless you if you get it. After he'd gone through this, put himself up there on the pedestal and say, look at me, here's what it was. I know where I got my victory from. Because he said this, it's through Jesus Christ and him only. Therefore, there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Now, ladies and gentlemen, he starts out with no condemnation here and leads to no separation in the rest of these chapters. And what's amazing about this, it's true. Because if you get born again, it's like new birth, like physical birth. You get physical birth. You don't have to be born physical the second time. You can't be born physical the second time. You can't go back to your mother. Jesus settled that with Nicodemus. First thing he thought when he talked about born again, can I go back to my mother's womb and be born the second time? That's the only way we can be born physically from a mother's womb. Well, therefore, he said, there's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Notice where the preposition, in Christ Jesus. See, that's the reason God is saying, be careful. Make sure you're not a reprobate. Don't let Satan deceive you that you have received Christ and suddenly you made a profession, joined a church, did something in turn which you did rather than what God did for you. I'm not saying you. I'm talking about the people of the world. You might know some people that your heart's broken because you know good and well they say they're saved and church and God and things about God don't have anything to do. But I know, though, the man upstairs really looking after me. I had a person tell me that this past week. Just tell me, just straight, you know, talking about the Lord and so forth. And suddenly they're just talking about, don't go to church. Never made a profession of faith. But I know the man upstairs looking after me. And they tell me some events that took place where he knows that God looked after him. Now, he may have, but I guarantee you he didn't look after them because they were who they were. He looked after them maybe to get them to see they need to be saved. But I'll tell you this. Satan told Jesus, I can give you the world if you'll fall down and worship me. Ladies and gentlemen, God is so precise in our heart and life. And watch what he said. He said, there is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh, there it is, but after the Spirit. Isn't that the same thing he started in chapter 6 with? You don't know the difference? You're saved now? You walk after the Spirit, not after the flesh. Same thing. That means that you learn the new creation, yield to the Spirit, and that old creation which have around all this time that Satan works through to bring sin to manifest, that you will begin to put it down. That's what he talked about, crucifying it. Put it to death as you go through. Those things you put down, put down. And the more you do and study the Word of God, the more you find God's Word blessing your heart and leading you and directing you and letting you see where you could be used for the Lord and His glory. And I love now chapter 8, but I can't really, I'll misunderstand chapter 8 unless I go back and look at chapter 6 and 7. Because he lays up where he's at to let us know what Jesus did. Someone says, I know Jesus saved me. Ladies and gentlemen, if you study, you'll find out he did a whole lot more than that. Especially the way we put it. He did something in depth that no one else could ever do. And he gave you a new identity. By the way, you heard me say the other day, I don't know what my new name is. Saul was Paul. You don't know what yours is. You know, the book of Revelation says God's going to give us a new name. So this old Charles Innes is self-centered. It's still self-centered. You have to work on it. And I'm glad this. God's not through working on me. I'm glad he's not, aren't you? I'd be afraid if he was, because I can't do it alone. But I know this. That Holy Spirit that he gave me is in there. And I know this. Let me just put it this way. If there's something that I did wrong, and the Holy Spirit would prick me right then, if I didn't correct it and do it again, he'd prick me. If I didn't do it then, I began to perform a lifestyle like that, then he'd prick. And do it again, then he. And do it again, more than likely, I'm left to my luck by myself. If I'm saved, he's still there. But it's going to be more. It's going to be more than a prick the next time. The prick, prick, prick. Then there's going to be more than the prick, and God knows what's needed. What is it? I don't know, but I guarantee you, you won't like it. You know God loves us, doesn't he? Father, please bless us, Lord. Give us those who are willing to come. And sit, Lord, please help us unravel this wonderful thing you've done for us, not for us to go and live for Satan, to go and live for you. Help us in our weakness. Lord, everyone of us here knows there's a weakness we have. But we're glad, dear Father, we're not where we used to be. We know that we're stronger now than we were when we got saved. But, Lord, we also know this, the flesh is always strong. It's weak in what it can do spiritually, but it's strong in what it can cause us to do when it comes to selfishness. It comes to those things that happens in life, between individuals and so forth. My Father, I just know why I studied something else to get into. You led in this direction. I don't know why, but I do know this. And I was just going to teach on chapter 8, and then all of a sudden I got looking, and I had to go back to chapter 6. And 7 to lead up to chapter 8. Now we're going in chapter 8. Lord, you're going to show us the difference in the flesh and the spirit and what will work in our lives. And you're going to show us this will be the sign to prove to our own soul that we are children of God. Because yielding to you will cause the Spirit of God to cry, Abba, Father, in our hearts. And Lord, sometime we're going to feel so close to you. We know if you take us home right then, we just be glad the heart to stop beating. And if we be honest, Lord, there's sometimes we seem to be so far from you that we won't want to stand in your presence right then. It's not that you've left us. It's just the fact the fellowship may have been broken. Sometimes we may not even know it. We don't know everything in this book. You give us examples of the Old Testament of a lot of experiences people went through. And Lord, you told us in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians, that you give us those examples. We might go after those things and know how God deals with people when they do certain things in life. Let this not be a place to fear, Lord. Let it be a place to rejoice, to come around this precious book. Holy Spirit of God, may you have your right away in our hearts. Unite us together. And our Father, give us that ability to present the Word in simplicity, yet in power. And it be more than words just for the mind, but words for the heart to help us grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. Lord, I think that I know a little more now than I know when I got saved. But now there's much more I want to know. And I pray you'd help us get this out in Christ's name, we pray. Amen.